Hello and welcome to Inspired, your grown-up girl talk. I'm Stacey Fleece with co-host Samantha Tredelius, as always.
Here we are.
Dude, there's something in the air today. I know. People need to just settle the fuck down.
They do.
Needs to settle the fuck down.
They do.
And here's what we're going to do to make sure they get there. I got to tell you, we are in presence of greatness today. Mm-hmm. There is some fame and greatness going on that is upping our game. And I'm super excited to have our guest here who has been involved in such amazing things that we've all seen in movies and television, like Empire, The Lost City, Hidden Figures, one of my favorite movies, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I love that movie. Smokin' Aces, Nanny Diaries. I mean, the list goes on. So I want all the goods, Ashunta. We have with us Ashunta Sharif Kendricks, who is a not only a red carpet go-to makeup artist, but has, Ashunta, you have your own line too. And
which I'm putting on right now.
And it's, I mean, I felt like I had to up my game today because you were going to be here and I'm watching very closely. This is not my skill set. Like, it's not even close to my skill set.
Well, this actually was voted by Women's Day, you know, Women's Day magazine.
Yeah.
Our Blur FX powder is the number one pressed translucent powder for mature skin. I'm 50 years old, so I take it very serious. I like to not be shiny, you know, and then you hear like, don't put powder on because you're mature. It's going to get in your lines and wrinkles. Well, we have one of the most finely crafted milled bad boy. I mean, like I'm all up under my eye and everything.
Good.
And just
to be clear, translucent and anybody of any
race, any color, any skin tone can wear this bad boy. That's a big part about Ashunta Sharif Beauty is we make universal products like our Blur FX or like this product, which is called Thermal Blush. I'll give you guys a little test run. It's basically a clear jelly. It's usually clear, but what ends up happening is over time it oxidizes. But when it goes on, it actually color adjusts to your actual body's chemistry. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it's the right color for you no matter
for
what.
For you always, no matter what you're feeling like. Yep.
How does it do that?
I know.
That's all science. That's where the innovation comes within the beauty brand. I don't really know exactly what triggers it, but I do know that like mood lipsticks and mood glosses back in the 70s and 80s had this very same kind of formulation within it. It's just that now we've been able to master it with clean ingredients. So that's what's kind of cool about it. So this is Thermal Blush Gel. It's our number one selling product. Universally works for all skin tones, all complexions and all ages, and really, really great on mature skin as well. Okay, but I just wanted to demo those products for you just so you could see them in real time.
It's gel, but you're putting it on with a brush.
I put it on. You can use your finger. You can actually put it on as like a lip balm. Like, so if I did it right now and did it like a little tinted lip balm, it's going to look clear when I put it on, but then it's going to color change. See, to this nice rosy color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's nice because I'm frozen on my end. I don't know.
You are frozen, but it's okay. We can still hear you.
Okay. Your voice is
great. Okay, good. Okay.
What you got going on?
Temporarily frozen.
I'm like, I don't want to waste it for your viewers, but yeah, so that color changes and does that color adjustment to your body's natural pH chemistry. So that's really a cool product. We have other really fun products like our UV liners, which are amazing. So this is Limeade. And so it's just green, but you know, if you take a UV light,
it'll pop out. That?
Can you see?
No, you're still frozen. But I think I was looking online and you've got such fun, vibrant colors, mascara. And you know, whoever thought that orange mascara would be something that we needed, but like,
I know that was pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome.
I know orange mascara is amazing. And what's great about our mascaras is they're super, super pigmented. They go on like a normal bright bold color, but then you get that whole like elevation of your makeup when you go into UV light. So this is like fun for like Coachella. This was fun for Renaissance tour. We saw a lot of product moving because of Beyonce's concerts and people having events to go to. This is fun for Burning Man. This is fun for just a date night. I wore this particular green liner, which I wish the damn Wi-Fi would freaking see. She's a bitch today.
She's a bitch. We already talked about the bitchy Wi-Fi earlier.
She's so bitchy today. Yeah, when I wore this green liner and I went out to dinner with my partners and I was walking around, you know, going back to the hotel And literally the traffic lights were making the product neon and glowing in the dark. And this lady in the street jumped and she's like, oh my gosh, are you an alien? And I was like, no, I'm not an alien. I just have glow in the dark eyeliner. And I literally right on the corner made a sale. Like she literally was like, where do I find that? That's so cool. My daughter would love that. And I'm showing her the website. And next thing you know, I walk away and she's bling order Shopify. So it sells itself. It's fun stuff. You know, I call it beauty elevated. You know, we can break away from that black, brown and navy liner and try bubble gum or try fruity or try limeade.
Oh,
you know what? I will make you a believer, Stacey. If I did it, I would make you a believer.
Yeah, I think
that's a tough call for me. I mean, I'm willing to play, but oh boy.
Stacey rolls in with a little lime on her lid. I think,
you know, I've convinced even a billionaire woman who barely puts any, I was with her for the opening of the bell, for the NASDAQ bell. And she was like, I don't do this. I don't do this. And she's like the super billionaire tycoon lady. And I don't want to disclose her name. And I got her to wear limeade. And the way I applied it, she was in shock when she saw it, when she was finished. She was like, green is my color. I was like, I told you it was going to make your brown eyes pop. So you'd be surprised. It's all about the application.
And unless anyone thinks this just happens overnight, I mean, you've been in this business for 20 plus years. And of course, logically, you have an anthropology major from college.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about how anthropology led you to this amazing, successful career.
I love that, actually. I believe that there's so many parallels in the journey, because I feel like every time I sit a client down, I'm literally investigating them like an anthropologist. You know, I'm finding out, I look at their faces and I go, oh, are you Jewish descent? Or are you this? I can always pick up on stuff. And they're like, how do you know? I'm like, well, because the way your eyes are shaped, da, 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 or are you Southeast Asian? I come up with the most random things and someone will be like, I'm from Singapore. How did you know that? I'm like, oh, it's because this. So it's certain things you learn from anthropology that just are blueprints to humanity, you know, features, why we look the way we do, why our hair is the way it is, why our complexion is the way it is. And it's always been really fascinating to me that those differences were fostered out of real need for human survival. You know, like we literally all look the way we do because of environment. And that's the only reason why we do look different, is because Europeans were up north and Africans were south and Asians were east. And so we all literally have a very specific look that's all kind of rounded out into the various climates we were growing up in and way, way back in time. And, you know, why our noses may be wider, maybe because we need more humidification in these more dense areas. Like we learn all that kind of stuff, like literally down to why our noses are the way they are. You know, why your noses need to be more slender in terms of the nostrils is because why would you need big nostrils, right, in a really cold climate? Think about that. It's too much air. It's going to be issues. So, you know, it's just one of those things that has been a guiding force for me, which is helping to connect with humans. And I think it makes us understand anthropology, how much more similar we are than different, that those differences that we have as precursors on external are just it. That's it. They're literally only made just for the surviving that we needed to get through in that time, you know, back in antiquity. Okay. So I really am into it. So
no, I think it's phenomenal, because usually you talk to people that are, you know, makeup artists or, you know, designers or creators, and, you know, they just have these artsy brains and they kind of go down this, like, it's a passion, but now you're bringing into like a whole historical factor of like how it really all ties together, which is super cool. To be able
to connect
your creative brain and your logic brain and be like, all right, here we go. So I want to talk about what it's like to be in the, you know, in the celebrity world, because that's obviously not a super easy like world to jump into. I mean, I'm sure it was pretty hard when you got started.
It's definitely not a world that, you know, like, hey, it's here, come on, come in.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely not that space. It is definitely a space that you have to know someone to get into it. You need to be referred into it. You know, you're not coming without a recommendation. And so I was becoming, you know, very, very much so like circulated in the music video scene because I was connected to a woman named Stacey Gray. And I always mention her name because she really is the door opener for me. Stacey Gray saw something in me. She was a, you know, big New York City hairstylist and makeup artist at the time who was doing like most of hip hop, R&B, and even pop music videos. She was usually the key heading both departments, and she would sometimes man up or power up the departments with some help. And she saw my work one day from at Henry Bendel's. Weird enough, she was there for an event. I gave her my card and she was like, you know, I'm going to stay in touch with you. And, you know, people say that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah,
and
do.
she really stayed in touch with me, like so much so she called me one random Sunday. It was like 4 something in the morning. I was a young mom. I had a 1-year-old daughter. We were living with my mom because I had left her terrible dad. Yes, I said it. And moved back home with my mom. And I get this call and she's like, Ashimta, are you available? And I'm like, now? And she's like, yeah. Can you like meet this van at 42nd Street at the Port Authority? You know, it's a white 15 passenger van. You know, it's going to pick you up at 5:30 with a group of people. And, you know, you're just going to get on that van and ride to the location. And I was like, sure. And
I mean, there's nothing sketchy about
it. Feels super normal.
You know? And in hindsight of all the crazy sex trafficking that we go through in Hollywood, you know, like you hear about, you're like, holy shit, I could have been totally sex trafficked. But thank God she was really legit. I got on a van, and in that van, it was, you know, stylists and models and hairstylists and barbers and all kind of people, and didn't know where the hell I was going, and get to the location, still didn't know what I was doing. Start doing makeup. It's one video girl after another. I'm just being told, make them look sexy, make them look hot, and literally not knowing what I'm doing until I go on set. And they're like, can you touch up 112? And I'm like, 112? They're like, yeah, this is 112 music video for their song Dance With Me. Don't you know? And I'm like, no, I don't know anything. Like, so, you know, I end up by accident, by default, having to groom them because their makeup artist had a car accident. He was running a little late. And so those first shots that got kicked off, you know, I had to like step up and help out. And the rest was really history. Like I was bitten at that point. Like, oh, I love the speed of this. You know, I did like 21 girls makeup and like 7 guys grooming, you know, and it was a 22-hour day. And who the hell is happy about that? But I left there so full. I was like, this is dope. I love this experience. And I want to keep experiencing that. And that's what happened. I kept getting called for music videos and, you know, doing all kind of music videos, from Jay-Z's music videos, even being asked to be in his music video for Change Clothes. I'm the makeup artist that's actually working throughout the music video. They show like little snippets of me, like putting makeup on models and stuff. And, you know, literally the director, Chris Robinson, was like, Ashimta, just get in the video. Just do what you're doing. It's great. You know, so I was just literally working, like touching people up, like I would backstage, because he wanted it to look realistic to being backstage at a fashion show. I had worked on fashion teams for world-renowned artists like Laura Mercier, and, you know, Pat McGrath worked on their team. So, you know, all of the experience with the music video experience just made me really fast as a makeup artist. And so that traveled, because you know what? Time is money in the music industry. Mm-hmm. And record execs, when they found out I could beat Alicia Keys' face in like 35 minutes, they were like, done, you know, done. And so like literally I got my first test out the gate with Alicia for a Vote or Die commercial, and it was free. It was no money. I went out to Brooklyn, you know, paid for my own parking, did her makeup, didn't know what it would end up in. And it ended up in 13 years later with her, you know, so, and doing 7 world tours and getting RIAA plaques, you know, global world plaques. And I'm a part of, you know, her big world tours. My mom kept one, of course. It's in her house. She won't let me have it.
Aww. Well, she did but watch yeah, the 1-year-old while you did the 22-hour mystery white van.
I want to, like, going back to the...
She goes, this is my blood money right here. So, yeah, she put that plaque on her wall. And
I want to talk about being a mom and being a young mom and having, you know, trying to build your career and doing it on your own. I mean, that must have been in its own right challenging.
I don't know if you guys heard my dog. He is so annoyed with this interview. He went, he only does that when he's annoyed. But no, being a young mom, I mean, I couldn't have done it without my mom. She was my village. She was my support system. She still is, you know, like even to this day as a 50-year-old woman, My mom is a huge supporter of mine. You know, if I need anything, even down into my business, like, mom, I don't have money for inventory. Okay, let me pull out some credit cards. You know, she just has always championed for me and wanting to see me win and believed in me. And she's always like, you've had it, baby girl. That's what she say. You got it. And I know the world will see it. And that's my prayers. And my, you know, I know I've done a lot that's made her proud, but the things that I'm trying to do, like what I'm doing on Friday, is next level type stuff. And that's the stuff.
Talk about what you're doing on Friday.
So Friday, I am going to the White House to speak to Vice President
Harris. I just got the chills.
I know. And, you know, speak, and this will all be, have happened by the time, you know, this airs, but, you know, I'm going through, you know, the vetting and all of that stuff. And so it's happened, it's confirmed. And they want me to moderate this panel, which is basically about beauty, diversity, and inclusion, and the, you know, really lack of funding that Black and BIPOC brands face within the industry. We all know about the various disparities we face as women of color. And so I'm there to like amplify that conversation, because over the last several years, since really Black Lives Matter, I was trying to figure out, as a makeup artist, what is my contribution to humanity besides making women feel terrible? You know, like doing all this work on celebrities has been like really interesting, right? Because it's a gift and a curse, because I'm making great money. I'm creating trends. I'm doing my job. I'm doing my thing. I'm doing what I love. But on the other end, you hear real women, when you come into the real woman space, of how women really feel. I don't look like Kim Kardashian. I don't look like this. I don't look like that. I can't look. And, you know, people do have people like me, you know, that do their hair, that do their makeup, that style their clothes, that train them, that wake them up and get them out the fucking bed, you know, make sure that they look great so that they can do their jobs and perform at the highest level, right? Because that's a big job, to be a star in Hidden Figures and to, you know, carry the weight of a role like a Katherine Johnson, you know, a historical character who did something for humanity, right? So we have to do our part. All of us are pieces to the puzzle. The makeup, the hair, the this, the that, to make the talent be able to really just soar and do what they want. And in us doing that, sometimes, you know, we don't always get shine. We don't always get flowers. We don't always get seen. And that's what our job has typically been, is kind of like, I always used to call it a high indentured servant. You know, and my husband said to me, he said, no, you are no one's servant. You're no one's servant. You provide a service, but you're no one's servant.
And I mean, I think that's your business. I don't think it's a servanture. So I think it's very interesting, this statement you just made about, you know, making women feel bad, because I have two young girls, and we talk about it time and time again about, you know, what they see online and what they see with, you know, the Kardashians and all these other people, but not really realizing what goes into that. That's not a normal, like, it's not a normal lifestyle for the normal woman or young woman. And so for you to really acknowledge, like, hey, like, we're here as a team to do these things, to create, and you also recognize that it may have an adverse reaction on the other side to, you know, the general population of women, because it's unattainable for many of us.
Yeah, it would be, you know, I have daughters and I know how they have been affected. I've had to have Alicia call my daughter literally when I was on tour, because I would always get her hair braided and put into nice little beaded hairstyles, you know, not because of Alicia. That's just what Black girls do. It's what we do growing up. And she was like, I don't want my hair like this. It's ugly. I looked at it, and she was crying and crying. And then my mom's friend gave her a Barbie doll that happened to be a Kenya Barbie doll. So the doll had no hair and was like a very traditional African Kenyan woman with the low haircut. And she threw the doll, broke it. Like, it was like straight out of Jane Elliott's, you know, you know, what she was talking about during the pandemic, where we're dealing with race relations. And I was like, holy moly, my daughter's dealing with colorism, she's dealing with hair texturism, she's dealing with all these things. And so I had Alicia call her. Alicia calls her and gave her a really nice talking to about, don't you like my braids? Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah. She was like, don't you think my braids are pretty? And she's like, yeah. She's like, don't you think I'm beautiful? And she was like, you're so beautiful. And she's like, so why aren't you beautiful with those same braids? And it was something that Nami finally was able to go, okay, you know. But that's when I really saw how deeply our kids are affected by the work that we do. And so I always wanted to do the work, be a great makeup artist, but also be an acknowledgement that, to tell women that I am there helping these women obtain this beauty. You know, there's a professional that's on the other side of that, and that anyone can have this, like if they have a team. It's just the fact. And I think that helps normalize it for real women to go, oh, okay, I get it. It's a team. And if I was a famous woman, I'd have a team and I'd be able to be pulled together that way. But what I do offer is I have some tips and tricks that I can share with you how I get my glam together for my celebrities for red carpets or for television all day long. How can I have my makeup last all day long in the summer heat? You know, how do you do that for your clients? So that's the gift back, I feel like, to women, is giving them the secrets, giving them the trade secrets.
But I also think having this own line of yours is also giving back, because yes, you are doing it for these celebrities, and yeah, you know, a lot of us look at them and feel shitty about ourselves and have that moment, but you're giving us an opportunity to also have some of the same tools that they have and at really affordable price points. So yeah, you are being so inclusive in what you can offer to those of us who are not walking the red carpet.
Absolutely. And that was a big part for me. This is the second inception of a brand for me. The first one, you know, was all about that. And it, you know, it didn't work out well for me, and it's fine. And those were learning curves that made me stronger to be ready for this brand. And that's all Ashinta Sharif Beauty is all about, is really celebration at diversity, the inclusion, that all of it, like, look at all three of us. You both are blonde, but you don't look the same. You have different features, different faces, you know, like really just celebrating that individualness and womanhood. And also even down to my models on my website, my mom is on there. Anita, who's my business partner, is 70 plus years old. Please don't kill me, Anita, for saying that out loud.
But beautiful.
I know, but you know, beautiful white woman, gorgeous white head of hair, and just so regal. And someone I is like my other, you know, to me, just a really wonderful woman. And all the women kind of on the site, as well as the other people who are trans or, you know, non-binary that we have, are just all friends of friends. You know, like, I didn't hire any pro models. I mean, we really try to like use that too as a template to show that, you know, beauty is obtainable through anybody, you know, because you see a plus size black woman, or you see a plus size white woman, or you see an older white woman or a mature black woman, like whatever, that it's all obtainable and it's all there. And we are giving you the tools, that a lot of it is really about waterproofing. People don't realize that's like one of the biggest secrets for makeup artists. Why the makeup stays and looks so good is we waterproof makeup a lot of times, or we're using waterproof makeup. So all my makeup is built waterproof, like literally, like
it's built to go the distance.
It's built to go the distance and for long wear.
Now, I want to go back to talking about, you know, brands for, you know, different non-white people. Okay. Let's just put it frankly, right? Mm-hmm, because, mm-hmm. You know, I was at Sephora just last weekend with my daughters, and, you know, there's like this small little corner that's, you know, dedicated to women of color. And I'm like, this is bullshit.
You know what, Samantha? That is bravo to you for noticing, but go ahead.
But, you know, I was just walking around and it caught my eye because it was like these crazy colors. And I was like, what is that? And then I walked over and I was like, this is the smallest little area. And there are so many women of all different walks that, you know, don't just fit into this little box that we are told as society is, you know, the makeup box or the glam box. And, you know, so what are we doing as a society to shift that? I mean, is it something that we're so far away from, or are we moving towards a more, you know, all over inclusive environment?
We're moving closer to it than we ever have. And that's what the conversation is about, honestly, with Vice President Harris. It's about moving this conversation forward about inclusivity for everybody. You know, not there's people I know who are white who have biracial kids, and their kids don't fit in those boxes. You know,
Stacey fits that box.
Yeah. So you understand what I mean? So, you know, it's just, it affects way more people than we know. And what you're saying in terms of the shitty corner at Sephora, you know, that's given out to the BIPOC brand, you know, I've actually had brand founder friends, you know, we've gone into the store and seen their products not really properly maintained, or, you know, not you asking like, is this product there? And they're like, oh, it's here, but you don't put it up on the shelves. It's just a lot of sloppiness, you know, when it comes to certain things. And I don't want to say it's intentional, because we don't want to keep pointing fingers at everything. I just think it.
No, let's say that it's fucking intentional, because I feel like we all know that we need to be more, you know, moved to incorporate all different things into our environments, but we're still at the bottom of the shelf.
Yeah. And, you know, and what,
that's not cool.
What I'm going to say is more than better than intentional is people are just fucking lost. You know, like people are not tapped into reality. John Leguizamo said it best, you know, when they interviewed him, you know, about the Oscars, and he said, why can't we have movies where, you know, they're written for white people, but the leading actors are Latino or black? Like, why does the concept have to only be white men and white women? He was like, and someone said, why do you think that is the case? He said, cause Hollywood is fucking white and it's lost. And it's not women like you guys who are tapped in and aware. It's really, unfortunately, white men that, and this is constantly a conversation I'm hearing from women from all walks of life, and no shade to any white man out there, but there's a lot of disconnect in terms of what women really need, what women are really asking for across the board, white all the way to the darkest shade of black. You know, like there's a major disconnect, and a lot of these corporate heads that are running Sephora, a lot of them are men, you know, like, so why do we have men in those positions in beauty that really don't understand the story and the journey of a customer as a makeup user, as a makeup wearer? They don't understand that story unless you're gay, honestly. You really don't understand the same story that a woman understands in terms of the beautification aspect or trans or whatever, but you got to be other than white male to really understand that journey.
We refer to that as pale male and stale. And there's too much of that running.
We're fucking over it. I don't care what industry you're in. It's everywhere. It's pandemic. Everywhere.
It's a blandemic. It's a blandemic.
You know what? Yes. And we're going to use it from now on, and we're going to credit you every time.
Yeah. A blandemic.
Stale blandemic.
I'm glad I'm not on camera right now because I'm crying. Oh my gosh. But yeah, so, you know, that is the problem. And I think, you know, I tell all my friends, I'm like, I know that these white men aren't being raised by none of my white girlfriends, because my white girlfriends are raising their kids right. You know, like, to be conscious of everything. And they even call me sometimes, ask me about little things, you know, like, what do you think about that? And that's what it takes, right? It takes a village for us to understand each other and have these open dialogues. My neighbor during the pandemic, at first I was highly offended, called a meeting for all the black townhouse owners in my townhouse community to come because she really wanted to understand what was happening. And at first I was highly pissed, but after 4 hours and 3 bottles of wine, I really understood, you know, I understood why she needed this meeting. Because she said to me, I didn't grow up with a lot of black people. She's like, I grew up white as fuck. That's what she said. And she was like, I really want to understand. And she's like, it's really unfair of me to say on one Sunday afternoon and 4 hours and 3 bottles of wine that I can really understand blackness. But I want you guys to try to show me, try to tell me your journey so I can try to make a connection. And it floored her when she heard everybody's story there. She was just crying, you know, and we heard her story and was crying as well. And she said, that's so crazy. People don't usually get emotional, because she had been molested and been through all these things. But that was like all of us, all the black girls that went through that. We had all been molested by family members. We all went through these things with this and that. It was like so much similarity. And a lot of that is attributed to, you know, to poverty and growing up in inner cities and lack of education and a system that's broken. And, you know, we just have I just think if women honestly did take over the world, and I don't mean to sound corny, I think we would be in a better place, maybe not in a perfect place, because I don't think women are perfect. But I definitely think we would make some better decisions that would better suit more of humanity.
I couldn't agree more. And I think the mission and the vision of us as we, you know, push forward as, you know, women raising young women and, you know, what the next generation that's coming up. I mean, it's our job to really push and forward that narrative. And you're doing that, you know, with your work, with your line, with just the person that you are and the woman that you are. I mean, it's incredibly moving. I can't say thank you enough for your time today. Shunta, we are going to post all of the links to your beauty line where we can get our hands on that translucent powder we all so badly need and the blush that we have been missing out on our whole entire life. We hope that everybody this week gets out there and is inspired.